Well, if you have your Bibles, I love it, TJ, when you said, if you have your Bibles, I looked at Noah and I said, Noah, this is a Bible. You know, he's got it on his phone. I know that's how it works. If you want to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, we will be there in just a second. Today, I'm going to be preaching on rest. I like that word rest, don't you? I love that word rest. I love the picture. I associate with this picture that's up here with this. And somebody texted me this week, they saw the marquee and the word rest, and they said, so what is rest? I said, exactly. I would really like to find out that more about that than anything else. And I know what you're thinking. You know, preacher, the only thing standing between me, lunch, and a nap is you. So I get that. I get that. You don't have to think it. I'm thinking it for you. So we will endeavor to get you out of here by supper. Hey, in the 60s, this amazes me. In the 60s, they had a Senate subcommittee. You know what a Senate subcommittee is? Anybody? There's a few of them on TV here lately. Senate subcommittee, and it was all about time management, and this is what they found out. They said that they predicted in about 20 years, in the 60s, 20 years, that the work week would probably be about 22 hours, and that and it was going to be amazing because everybody was going to be challenged in what you do with all this extra time that you have on your hands because of the advancement in technology and all of these different things that was really going to change our world. And I got to tell you, some 60 years after that, with all the advances that we've had in technology, and they have been massive, most of us are trying to figure out not what to do with the extra time, but where did the extra time go? Because we're still busy. Most of you are taking work home with you. Most of you are staying at work longer. Most of you are working harder at everything that you're doing, just trying to keep things together. And rest is probably one of the things that have escaped your vocabulary instead of being added to it. So today, we're going to talk about the rest, but in the context of what the Lord thinks about this. But first, let me give you a real quick pop quiz. Fill in the blanks here. It says, I'm ready to throw in the towel. There you go. I'm at the end of my... Good job. I'm just a bundle of nerves. I'm at my wits. You see, that's where we are. That's where we are. And there's no denying that. There's no denying that. I'm just tired half the time, you know. And it's not because of the age I'm at. It's because of the pace of life that we're living. And with all of that comes that we read our Bibles quickly if we're going to read our Bibles, and sometimes really don't get anything out of it. We do work really, really quick because we want to get things done, and sometimes we don't do that very well either. So with all of this, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, work harder, longer, try better? No, we need to get some rest. We need to get some rest, and we better get it from the Lord. Jim Botts wrote this. He said, apparently we're all experiencing the rat race. Just when we thought you were getting ahead, come along faster, rats. But you need to remember, he who wins the rat race in the end, win or lose, is still just a rat. So we're not getting ahead whether we think we have some clipping. You know, I like to use this term like, I like Cliff Notes, don't you? Do they even exist anymore? No, you have Google and stuff like that. When I was in high school, they had this thing called Cliff Notes. So the teacher would assign a book that you had to read. If it didn't have Cliff Notes, I wasn't going to do it. So you go in, it's a cheater type thing. So we try to do that with life, and it doesn't work. And especially if you try to do it with God, you really miss a whole lot of things. You create gaps in your life, even though you're putting more energy into being a better person for the Lord Jesus Christ. Debbie, years ago, I'll never forget it, you know, with her schedule, my schedule, with our kids and our grandkids, especially our grandkids and all this other stuff, we were just wore out. You know what she told me one time? She goes, you know what we need? I said, what? She goes, we need a wife. And it startled me for a second. I didn't know she was looking for a replacement or extra help. I wasn't sure, you know. But I understood what she meant. Yeah, we need somebody who cooks and cleans and does the laundry other than me, you know. And y'all didn't even catch that, did you? Tell you what we really need. We really need rest. Did you see how quickly I started speeding up my message? Because sometimes that's what we do. We get excited and we just want to get to the end real quick. And rest is very difficult. Most of us, we don't know how to rest. We don't know how to slow down. We don't know how to take it easy. We certainly don't know how to rest in the Lord. Because most of you, you're already on your to-do list tomorrow. Mentally, that's where you are. I understand how that goes. And it's okay. But if you don't learn how to rest, you can conquer that little challenge. You can write it down a million different times, but you're going to be weary on this other end of that. What we really, really, really need is rest. Now listen, if you need physical rest, you know, do indeed go eat lunch and have a nap. If you need emotional rest, then, you know, hey, go on vacation, take a cruise, 1-800-JOHN-OWENS, you know, just go with those guys or whatever. Go to the beach, I understand that. But if you need spiritual rest for the deepest issues of your life, the deepest level of your heart, you're going to have to get it from the Lord. And I would tell you this much, that's the battery that needs to be recharged more than any other battery. If you don't take care of that one, you are really running on fumes all the time. And collapse and tragedy and calamity is going to be in the results if you don't stop to learn how to rest in the Lord. And the more things change, the more things never change. They stay the same. Our whole life. This is not a brand new phenomenon. This isn't because it's 2019. This is something that's been plaguing Americans and the human race of you forever. So Matthew, the 11th chapter, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this just might be a part of a devotional or a part of your dedicated Bible reading, and you just glean right over all of that because, you know what, most of the times, even with our devotionals, we're more focused on getting to the end and on to the next thing than we are even experiencing the rest that Jesus Christ talks to be right there. He says this. He says, come unto me. He didn't say go to church. Well, listen, go to church is a great thing. And I'm not advocating don't go to church because there's enough people out there that go, I just can't go to church. This is the only day I get to rest. So they stay away from church, the very source of the rest that they're needing is going to be found in a spiritual setting. So they'd rather be at the lake and they'd rather be somewhere else. And I'm not knocking on anybody, but at the same time, there's a whole bunch of issues when you do that. Christianity begins with a life with Christ personally, not church performance. And church performance makes us good, feeling good. We did the right thing. We were in the right place. But just being here, if there's not something that connects you with Christ, then we've just been attending. We came in and we put our bodies in these seats, but God never moved into our hearts. And that's why we're still looking for rest. I went to church, but I didn't find rest there. I went to church, I didn't find peace there. I went to church, I didn't find hope there. I didn't find comfort there. It's because, man, we're so busy singing songs and so busy trying to do this, that, and the other. If we're not careful, we don't get that opportunity where we just need to slow down, stop the world, and be in God's presence. That's where you find the rest. Jesus said, come unto me. It's the picture, because we like illustrate. It's a picture from going from point A to point B. And we know what point A is. I live in point A. Man, I got to pay bills. I got to be somewhere on time. There's a whole lot of demands on my life. I got to take care of the kids. I got to put clothes on the kids. We got to put food on the table. I got to keep a roof over our head, you know, clothes on our back. That's point A. But going to point B, Jesus says, come unto me. The picture is movement. It's not just acknowledging all these things. We're good at acknowledging it. We don't need anybody to help us with a bigger definition of the rest that we need. But Jesus says you're not going to have that rest until you go from point A to point B, coming from here to where I am. And that's why it's so important that we do that. Listen, he also said, if you're hungry, come unto me. If you're thirsty, come unto me. So who is encouraged to come? I'm glad he defines that because we fit right in there. In the King James Version, it says, they who labor and are heavy laden. In the NIV, it says, those who are weary and burdened, physically and mentally fatigued. I mean, literally to the point that if we put another thing on your plate, you wouldn't be able to handle it because there's too many other plates you're spinning. You can't take another ball and juggle it any better because you can only juggle so many balls. That's where you're at. Burdened, overloaded. I mean, you know, we talk about the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, one more straw and you're done. You're done. That's the life that we live in. And Jesus knew that. The Bible says in Matthew, the 9th chapter, when he looked at all these people who had followed him, after he'd been healing people left and right, that'll create a crowd. He looked out there and the Bible says that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, that they were just overwhelmed, and you could just see the fatigue in their eyes, and he saw especially it in their souls, and that's what Jesus sees with us. And listen, I applaud your efforts to throw on your best look, the smile, whether it's here at work, school, or whatever. We put on our best. We hide a whole lot of things. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do that, but I am telling you this, that God sees right through all of that appearance that we put on. And he sees how beat up we are and how the world has taken advantage of you, and you feel worried and beat up. And most of you just go, please, Pastor, get me out of here. I'm ready for that nap you've been talking about. But he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. There's that word. If we go from point A to point B, Jesus says the end result is, I will give you rest. And he gives us rest for our spirit, and he gives us rest for our bodies. This isn't just a spiritual pick-me-up. You know, in churches, we give spiritual pick-me-ups for all the right reason. We encourage you spiritually. This is a spiritual event, but you go, how's that going to change my schedule? How's that going to change the burdens? How's that going to change the issues I face at work? How's it going to help me pay bills? God is far aware, more than you are, of everything that you need spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, all of these things. And he takes care of all of those things. There was a story of two lumberjacks who challenged each other to a wood chopping contest. So they went at it, and at the end result, there was one that far outdid the other one. So the guy who came in second, so to speak, the one who didn't chop as much, he said, man, I'm amazed you won. He said, because every time I looked up, you were taking a break. He said, no, what you saw me was not only taking a break, but I was sharpening my axe. And there's a lot of us out there, we're doing life with a dull axe. We don't stop for anything. We don't take time in the Lord. And we're just busy, busy, busy. And our experiences and our cliches and all of these things that have surrounded us and supported us for a while, they're the only thing that is sustaining us. Rest is crucial, especially if you get it in the right place. But he also said this. He said, come unto me, I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you. The yoke is an implement that, whether you call it a tool or whether it's a piece of equipment that you put on usually two oxen or, you know, two animals to pull a plow in the old day especially, and it fashioned over their necks, and it was hooking these two animals together. And as you did this, you began to see that a lot of things happened. These had to cooperate, but Jesus says, take my yoke. He doesn't say, I'm going to put one on you. Here, you're obligated to wear it. No, he says, I'm going to offer it to you. So guess what? Jesus is going to let you handle life the way you want to if you want to. If you're happy the way you're doing things, if you think you're getting ahead, and you can put up with that rat race and all of these burdens and all this heaviness, you can handle it. It's all on your own. Go ahead. But Jesus says, let me give you my yoke. For my yoke is easy. Six times in the New Testament talks about this. Now here's where we experience yokes from the Bible. There was the yoke of rules and regulations that the Pharisees put on people. It was all about you got to do this and you got to do that. It reminds me of the church that most of us didn't like when we were kind of exposed to it, if we were at all, and that was a church of do's and don'ts. You got to do this, you got to do that. And many of you in the heyday, you know, you had to dress a certain way. Your hair had to be a certain way. And if you were a woman, you couldn't wear makeup. And your dresses had to be into your toenails and whatever. I'm not telling you we've been liberated from that, just that we don't live there anymore, okay? But it was all about rules and regulations. And we had measuring tapes and stuff like that. I was talking to TG early, and we had kind of a Catholic upbringing. You know, his was a lot more committed than me because he was going to be a priest. I was going to be a jerk. You know, but he was going to be a priest, you know. But, you know, we learned what to do. We were talking about, man, the masses back there were in Latin, so we didn't know what they were saying. So you know what? We had this thing where we knew where to go in. We knew when to stand, when to kneel, when to make the sign of the cross, dip your hand in the water, all of those things. And I'm not making any jokes whatsoever about the Catholic Church, so don't you go out here thinking that whatsoever. But you see, it was all about this is what you're supposed to do. What Jesus offered us is just the opposite. It's a yoke of relationship. It's about, I want you to know me, and I want you to know that I know you. It's not about just your names either. It's about, I know everything there is about you. In Acts, the 15th chapter, Paul talked about how difficult it was. He said, God had made no distinction between us and them. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, for he purified their hearts by faith. Then he's talking to the Pharisees. This is what he said. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Man, I'm telling you, where we get really tired is we're trying to keep up with somebody else's standards and somebody else's ideas of what we ought to be doing, make somebody else happy. How much time, really, it would be interesting if we could study and find out, how much time do you spend every day pleasing somebody else? And yet every time I come to Christ, I don't feel like there's this huge inspection going on. Instead, I feel a great invitation to just come and be with Him. And that's what He speaks about in this yoke of relationship. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Here's the crazy thing about it. He says, take on my yoke. The yoke is an emblem of work, but somehow when we work with Jesus, I find rest. I don't get more weary. I find the strength that I've been looking for. I find the hope that I've been looking for. I find the comfort that I've been looking for because now I'm linked with Jesus. He's basically saying, listen, just be with me. Work with me and follow me. And I'm going to take care of the issues of your heart. And even though you may find yourself in busyness, activity, you're going to find rest that you never believed possible. Because this isn't about a nap, ladies and gentlemen. You've kind of figured that out, haven't you? But somehow when we get into Jesus, we have energy that we never dreamed we could find. We have energy to burn. We want to do things more and more and more. When I got saved and got involved in the church, I wanted to be at church all the time. And I worked just like everybody else. I had construction jobs and that type of thing, but I just wanted to be in church. Because that's where I really found energy, is when I was associated with Christ through His people. J.A. Jollett summarized it this way. The fatal mistake for believers is to seek to bear life's load in a single collar. God never intended man to carry this burden alone. Christ, therefore, deals only in yokes. A yoke is a neck harness for two, and the Lord Himself pleads to be one of the two. He wants to share the labor of our overwhelming task. The secret of peace and victory in this Christian life is found in putting on the taxing collar, putting off the taxing collar of self and accepting the Master's relaxing collar. There's a lot of people out there that have images of the church. The church is just stiff, it's rigid, and if somebody tell me what to do. Let me tell you what, I've never found more freedom in all my life than following Christ. I've never been more liberated in all my life. I lived all of my younger life wondering if I could get around all of the strict regulations I had from my dad. And I just always under that thing, will I get caught, all this other stuff? Is he going to approve of this? Is he going to get mad? Is the belt coming off? I got saved, man. I'm telling you what, I have never felt freer in all my life. And it's just a relief. Then Jesus says this, come and learn from me. And the last command, he says, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's an easy yoke, but learn from me. See, a part of this associating with Christ is not just to go and get the rest. Oh my goodness, how most of us just want a break. We just want to stop this crazy carousel of life called human race and stop it so we can just get off for a second and just stand in one spot. But Jesus says this, I need you to learn from me because I have a system that is going to be amazing to you. What are we supposed to learn from Him? We're supposed to learn the advantages and the incredible blessing of letting Him be in control. One of the reasons you're so tired is because you've got way too much control of your life. You're calling the shots way too often. You're telling God where He can fit into your life instead of asking Him, where can I fit into your plan? That's what we're doing most of the time. We're giving God these little bitty marginal moments in our life instead of giving Him our complete life. It's only in that that we're going to find the energy and the rest that we've been looking for. 1 Peter 5 says this, cast your cares upon Him because He really cares about you. God really cares about you. Hey, that can be a bumper sticker all day long, but it's still the truth. And until it embraces your heart, you're just going to still be in control because you're trying to find out how to take care of yourself. And the very person who wants to take care of you and is equipped to take care of you, available to take care of you, signed up to take care of you, is being excluded from your life. But the minute you let Him into your life, you're able to breathe again. The anxiety just seems to be yesterday's issue. You're able to take a deep breath. Instead of feeling like it's half full of garbage, you're able to take deep breaths and feel good about yourself. You look in the mirror and there's something, there's a pick-me-up there that you can't explain because it only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So does your life feel like it's just overwhelmed and burdened? Of course it does. Life does that to you. That's what life is about. But peace in God is a whole different thing. It's a whole different title. He says, listen, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, says this. So we must make every effort to enter into that place of rest. Then no one will be lost by following the example of those who refused to obey. I want you kids, teenagers, don't go crazy with this comment. But think about your parents, their jobs, how it is at home. Do you just see them just running crazy, just trying to keep things together? Because if you do, then it's probably because they're just doing that, trying to pull it together. But the person who really loves the Lord Jesus Christ finds this ability, even though life is hectic and it's archaic and it's crazy and it's demanding, they find this ability to somehow have this peace and this rest within their hearts. Listen, I'm not talking about activity. I'm not talking about busyness, because we're all busy. We're all trying to go all over the place. We always got soccer practice and piano practice and all of that stuff. We got stuff we got to do. And then you got church. The church, bless your heart, half of you are praying that we'll cancel Sunday night service so you'll have something else to do. The rest of you have already had that prayer answered because you don't come anyway. I've never felt more anointed in all my life. Chuck Swindoll said this, God never asked us to meet life's pressures and demands on our own terms, but by our own strength, nor did he demand that we win his favor by good deeds. Instead, he invites us to enter his rest. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. And listen, what are we looking for rest from? We're looking for rest from stressed circumstances, a life that is so overwhelmed and so overburdened that we don't even know how to keep pace. The problems of life. I mean, just the simple thing. We're not talking about evil things. We're talking about just the problems of life, just trying to keep life together. Do you think Jesus walked around preaching all of this stuff and saying, oh, yeah, don't worry about that stuff that you have to do, like, you know, plant gardens and take care of your family stuff? No, Jesus was absolutely invested in every aspect of your life. There's not a single part of your life that he doesn't care about and care about deeply, care about more than you do. Stressed out by all kinds of things, strained relationships, financial pressure, your lifestyle. And Jesus says this, go from point A to point B. Point A is well-defined. It's where you are right now. It's where you'll be tomorrow. And it's probably going to take weeks and months and years off your life. Or you can come over here. Come unto me. And what I promise you is not only just eternal life, but I promise you a fantastic life, a life that is full of the Spirit, a life where I'm going to come alongside you because we're going to wear the same yoke. And when you get weak, I'm going to pull. And when you don't know where to go, I'll guide you. And when you want to give up, I'll say, let's keep going. And when you get sick, I'll carry you. That's what Jesus does in his yoke. Who does that in your life? Who? Who does that in your life? No one. Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I'm tired of living a regular life. I want an abundant life, don't you? I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm just preaching what Jesus has to offer. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the next few moments that you will just absolutely free us from this sense of overwhelmingness that we experience in life every day. That many of us are already just wondering how we're going to get the kids out of bed, get to school, how we're going to be able to get in our car and get to work on time in the morning. Father, we're already overwhelmed by all of these things. And we don't need to watch the news, but when we do, we're always reminded this world is completely spinning out of control. There are no one is making any sense. And it's all because we're looking at the world. But you said, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. You told us to learn from you, and what we would receive is rest. Oh God, how we need rest for our souls. We need rest for our spirits today. Some of us need rest for the spiritual dilemma because we've never committed our heart to you. And today, we desperately need to come to a Jesus who loves us. From point A to point B, we know what's at point A. I would like to find out what's at point B. Point B, the blessing of God, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, the comfort that I so desperately seek, the strength that I wish I had, the rest that has been escaping me day in and day out. I need it from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do two things at one time. I'm going to ask you to stand, and those of you who need rest, I'm going to ask you to just exit your pew and just come down and stand in the front of this altar. As everyone stands, if you need rest, hey, I'm not going to interrupt your time, but you know what? There's something about those words saying, Father, I need the rest that only you can provide. And I come to you. I know where my life is. Now I need to go back to where I know that you are. And I need your rest. Come on, whoever you are, come on. Don't sit back on God. This isn't about pleasing a pastor. This is about getting the rest that you have been looking for. You've been searching for it. You've been trying to find it in a million different ways. You look for it in relationships and been disappointed. You've tried to find it at work and you've been disappointed. You've looked at it in a promotion and you never got it. You're looking for it in all different ways and it is never showing up. But today, if you will take a few moments to take a couple of steps, God is going to meet you and He's going to overwhelm you with His rest. But it takes a little courage, it takes a little boldness, and it takes a desire. So let me put it this way. If you're happy with where you are, good luck. If you want to get on God's page, then come on.